south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, before we get started today, I'd like to talk about my next Latin American seminar. Yep, been receiving quite a few emails from people asking when and if I'm going to do one, and if so, how to get in on the early bird discount. People want the info and the details and all that. Now, the good news is I'm setting another one up right now. It'll be in Central America, off the Gringo Tourist Trail, of course, which means very cheap flights for everyone. In fact, the last one we did a couple months ago in Guatemala, some of the attendees reported they got their fares for around $500 round trip, and one person reported getting his for $470. Now, note, if I was to do a Latin American seminar in a place like Colombia or Ecuador, the airfares would be well over a grand, with two, three, maybe even four layovers, so you'll blow a whole day at the front and the back end of the trip, for sure, maybe more. Which is one of the reasons I like to do seminars in Central America. Not only do you get off cheaper and have a lot less jet and airport fatigue, the fact is I have some really terrific contacts in Latin America, so when we do our boots on the ground part, you get to see and experience things and meet people. Successful, long-time expats, etc., people you'd never have a chance to meet on your own. Because, as you know, when you come down to Latin America by yourself or even on a tour group, 99% of the time you'll be treading the well-worn gringo trail. And you'll be just another gringo tourist. But that won't happen with my seminars, that's for sure. So anyway, to get on that early bird discount list, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and put Latin seminar in the subject box, and I'll get right back to you. And for you listeners who've been putting off coming to my seminars, you know who you are. You keep writing me messages all the time saying, I'm coming to the next one, I'm coming to the next one. Just can't swing it right now. Jimmy's still in school or can't get the time off, whatever. Well, when people ask me how long I'm going to continue to do these seminars, well, so far I've only been doing two of them a year. One in the summertime and one in January. But as most listeners know, with any one or more of those critical tipping points ready to blow, bringing that whole first world house of cards down, that would mean, shortly, up in your neck of the woods in the first world, things will shift and rapidly fall apart. They're starting to already. But you already know that if you've been listening to my show and a lot of the other alternative media programs. That said, when the signs get ominous that the walls will be tumbling down, there will be no seminars, you can bet on it. Because for one, Uncle Sam will try to keep the cows in the barn, so it'll be very difficult to leave the country, which is what so many people in the know are predicting. So you got to have that plan B, and you got to get it now. Do you have yours? Well, if not, come on down to my next Latin American Boots on the Ground seminar. You've got time to get your ducks lined up. It's a little over 3 months away. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. All one word, and I'll put you on the list to get that early bird discount. And yes, as usual, there will be a number of payment options and a big discount if you sign up before November 1st. So again, shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and you'll get all the info. Oh, and by the way, for all you listeners out there who've been getting my show, The Expat Files Living in Latin America, not from PRN.FM, which is the big site out of New York, by the way, you can always get it there, you know, and you can get it at Stitcher and iTunes and Podbean.com, too, and a lot of other places. Though most people get it from ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, or you can just put in PRN.FM and the site will come up. So if you're on PRN's main page, click on the archive link and you'll get my shows. And by the way, don't confuse PRN with NPR. That's Irrational Public Radio, or I'll be forced to punch you in the face or vomit in your shoes. Your choice. Of course, until now, you're always able to get the Expat Files shows at expatwisdom.com, too. However, if you go to the expatwisdom.com site right now, you'll see it no longer exists. That's because I haven't got time to post things there anymore. I've been concentrating instead on my Flagonomics and Flag Wisdom programs, which you may or may not have heard about, and some more secret projects. I'll be filling all of you in on that in due time. Don't worry. Anyway, Of course, I'll keep you posted with the website changes and the Flag Wisdom and Flagonomics program. Just hang in there and be patient. And as for now, the Expat Wisdom site will only be available to the Gold Membership people. You know who you are. You'll be receiving a special code to get in. And we will be sending out that info to all you guys and gals, so hang in there, it's coming. Now, in the end, for those of you who have websites, you know websites are supposed to do two things, inform people and sell things, and I'm not big on selling other people's products. And I can't tell you how many emails I get from people trying to get me to endorse their stuff for a piece of the action, but you know what? If I don't really love a product and use it myself, I'll never endorse it. It boils down to the fact that I do inform people through a lot of media outlets. In fact, all told, with my show, The Expat Files Living in Latin America, through all the media outlets, I've been informed my show has been downloaded a couple of million times already. Now, if I just could have got 99 cents a download like they charge for music on iTunes, or even a half a penny a download, I could buy a couple of Teslas and drive into the sunset. So why a couple of Teslas? Because in the first 10 minutes, I'd probably destroy the first one in a gigantic pothole or hitting one of those tumulos. After all, this is Latin America. So yes, there have been a couple of million downloads. And the vast majority of those downloads did not come through the Expat Wisdom website. And really, the only good reason for that website in the first place was for me to post my seminars twice a year and a couple of other little announcements, projects, and reports here and there, which in the end took up way more of my time than I'm willing to give up. So it's best to leave the content to the content guys and the marketing to the marketing guys. As Kenny Rogers and his lookalikes have been known to say, you gotta know when to hold them and know when to fold them. So, time to pull the plug on that one. Enough said about that. Anyway, let's finish off that email I was reading on the last show from a very upbeat guy named Mark, who's planning on bringing his wife and his family down to Latin America to live. If you remember the theme, it was all about the do's and don'ts and the positives and negatives of bringing young kids down here to Latin America with you. Let me refresh this thing by repeating his question. He said, Johnny, as I mentioned, I'm planning to get down to Latin America within the next 18 months, preferably Nicaragua, with my wife and four young kids. Now, I've heard you recommend against bringing kids down there, but one of the main reasons you mentioned was so they didn't hang out with those spoiled helicopter school rich kids. We homeschool our own kids and will probably continue to do so down there, so I don't see that as a concern for us. If we do choose Nicaragua, for example, I know people are very welcoming of children there, and my kids will learn Spanish, and it would be an experience of a lifetime for them. It seems to me there are lots of benefits to bringing kids down. Both my wife and I have experienced living in third world countries ourselves and speak pretty decent Spanish. So I think we're up for the challenge. Are there any other reasons you might advise against lugging kids down there? Also, my son, the oldest child, would be about 9. So if for some reason we found ourselves staying in Nicaragua into his teen years, should I be concerned with what might happen with a teenage gringo among a bunch of third world teenage Latinas? Because that will be another concern. Okay, Mark, I think I can fill you in with a few tips on that. So first, let me start with another real story from the trenches, this time from a friend of mine, a gringo who's been down here 12 or 13 years working at a helicopter school. Like I said before, easy job to get. Teaching English or any subject in English at one of those high-end helicopter schools. You don't need any experience at all except for the fact you might need to bring a college diploma down for the interview. Many English teacher ads state you should attach that with your resume. And like one gringo backpacker told me, he winked and he said, you know, Johnny, if you're shy, first world college credits, you could Photoshop just about anything you like and they'll accept it. Turns out most of the office personnel, even at the helicopter schools, don't speak much English and aren't going to check up on you. Now, I'm not advising you to do that, but gringos, especially backpackers, do it and get away with it all the time. No big deal. After all, down here anyway, resume padding is a national pastime. Then again, it is up in the States too, isn't it? Now, I'm not picking on backpackers here. It's just that they're usually the creative type. And let's face it, down here, it's the land of the liars. If a Latin top-running presidential candidate can fake his doctoral thesis and get away with it, it's the media headline for days and nobody cares. In the end, he still nearly wins the election. So then, what does it matter if a clever, hard-up gringo backpacker wants to Photoshop a few items himself? Who cares? Maybe he can Photoshop a few more ID documents and run for Congress. And you'd think, with the internet, they'd check. But they don't, especially if the documents are in English. And by the way, as I mentioned in a past show, that goes for health insurance documents too. When, like in all insurance form documents, they ask you to put down your previous doctors, the ones that attended you, for whatever problem, and they ask you to list the various surgeries and problems that you might have had in the past, you know, pre-existing conditions. The fact is, gringos are so well-trained and seemingly honest, or I should say, honestly afraid they'll get caught in a lie of omission, so they put down every detail on those forms. Usually. Because if you pull a stunt like that in the States and get found out, it could follow you around the rest of your life. Anyway, down here in Latin America, they'll ask those same questions too when signing up for health insurance, and it will be in Spanish, of course. And a certain percentage of gringos will be brutally honest on those forms, as gringos tend to be. Whereas other gringos who've been down here a while and know better conveniently forget certain operations and problems they had in the States. So they never do get written on the form. And really, who cares? I mean, let's face it, unless you have a long, deep zipper scar from some previous operation, or stents or prosthetic devices that could show up on radiographs, it's true, some gringos then do leave out a lot of pre-existing conditions. Anyway, almost all insurance companies after 6 months or a year do cover pre-existing conditions anyway, at least down here. But where was I? Oh yeah, one of my ex-backpacking gringo friends, who's now an English teacher at a helicopter school, he told me this story just about 2 weeks ago. He said, you know, Johnny, it's getting harder and harder to get up every morning and go to school to teach these kids. He said, you know, I have two really good friends and my sister who are public school teachers up in the States, and they burnt out a long time ago. And I remember, he said, 10 years or so ago, when I'd send back letters and emails to them telling them how great it is down here teaching at one of these private schools, urging them to quit up north and come down if they could, and they'd see what a really fulfilling teacher's job is like. Now, of course, none of them ever came down, he said. For all their complaints, they wouldn't think of screwing up that tenure and that pension. Even though, like he said, they hated their jobs, and in fact, his own sister had taken to drink. He said every night after school, as soon as she got home, she'd belt down two or three highballs of Absolut vodka. And that was back then. She's a lot worse now, he says. And get this. She was a public high school art teacher. How tough could that be? Now, 10 or 12 years later, my gringo teacher buddy says, unfortunately, the lag time effect has kicked in down here, too. He's now feeling what his teacher friends and sister were feeling way back when. Yep, he's thoroughly discouraged, only he hasn't taken to pounding down glasses of vodka yet. At least, I don't think so. But back to the story. He said, you know what, Johnny? The other day, there was a 13-year-old girl in my class sitting in the second row, and she just couldn't keep her head up or her eyes open. She was obviously nodding off and waking up and nodding off and waking up. Thoroughly distracting, he said, and the other kids were snickering about it too. In fact, he said, I thought she was on downers or pot or something. Till he finally walked over and said, Sarah, why are you falling asleep? Am I that boring? And this is what she said with a totally straight face. She said, oh, Mr. Carrolls, I'm so tired, you don't know. I was up all night texting. I must have sent 200 messages. God, I'm sorry, Mr. Carrolls, but you don't know. Texting is so exhausting. Then my gringo teacher friend said to me, the good news, if you want to call it that, is that she answered me in perfect California teenage slang. Some progress, huh? So, bottom line, Mark, since the vast majority of gringos who bring their kids down here do not homeschool them like you say you're going to do, those are the kind of kids they're going to be thrown in with. Those are going to be their friends and midnight texting companions. Oh, and now to mention another very negative thing about bringing young kids down here to Latin America is the fact that almost all first world parents in that situation will have a full-time maid or nanny. Most of them, by the way, with a live-in maid, 24/7. Now, I know what you're thinking. What in the world could be negative about that? Talk about every first world mom's fantasy, to have a personal nanny 24/7. Well, here's the problem. No matter how much you say you're going to be really involved in the child upbringing and child care, little by little, you'll let her take on almost all that responsibility. I see it all the time. And that results in your kids bonding sometimes more to your maid or nanny than they do to you. I'm talking about you gringa moms here. So, as it turns out, many times it seems as if there are two moms in the family, the real mom and the maid, cleaning lady, or nanny. And by the way, down here, they call a nanny a niñera. And I'll tell you, at first, most gringos who come down with children do not instantly hire one. But after some months go by and you start cultivating adult friends, gringo or Latin, who have families themselves with full-time maids and nannies, your new friends will wonder and question you as to why you don't have one. And soon enough, you'll notice your friends' houses are much cleaner and more orderly than yours is. And when you see how much free time your new friends have, you'll soon sing a different tune. And if you're coming from the States with a couple kids, you'll recall that up there, your house was always a mess and the work was never done because you couldn't afford a live-in maid. I mean, I don't know anybody who could have anyway. And suddenly, down here, people are saying, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you have a niñera?" Well, I'll tell you, at first, even if you're against such things and you swear you'll never do it, eventually, people cave in. Now, admittedly, most gringos and expats do not resist hiring a maid or a nanny. Especially the guy, the daddy. He says, "Yeah, by all means, let's get one." Because he doesn't want to live in a continuous mess all the time. And generally, when you do find a gringo mom that is staunchly against it, she'll say stuff like, "I'm not going to have someone I don't know take care of my kids." In fact, more than one gringo mom has said, "Johnny, you know what? I want to enjoy my kids. They're only young once, and I want to be there." Well, you know how long that lasted? About 6 months. Next time I saw them, they had a live-in nanny. And both of these families had two kids. And now you can walk into their house anytime. Just pop in, and the house is impeccable. And I'll tell you, up in the States, I never saw that. My friends who had a couple of kids, their houses were always a wreck, and the only time they ever looked nice was when there was a scheduled event or a party. Yep, they'd knock themselves out for a couple of days getting the place in order for the event. No, that doesn't sound familiar, right? Now, that said, I really do wish that my parents would have moved to Latin America when I was a little toddler, for so many reasons, not the least of which is the gringo advantage. Secondly, if I would have come down as a kid, in no time, even a language dunce like me would have perfect Spanish. Then again, there are those negatives that you'll have to deal with. Now, unless you homeschool your kids, which is a rarity down here, 98% of gringo kids end up in those helicopter private schools, thrown in with all those spoiled rich kid princes and princesses. For example, you might remember the story I told about the pretentious rich kid who a gringo teacher friend of mine tried to fail. The backlash was, at the next parent-teacher conference, the kid's rich and powerful jackass parents tried to have my friend fired. Now, with all their money, their name, and their power, they could have succeeded, except for the fact that he'd been teacher of the year at that school for many years running. So he had a pretty good following amongst the other pretentious parents in that school who weren't going to let that happen. Though if he'd have been just your regular old gringo English teacher on a one-year contract, they would have poop-canned him. But then again, like he said, if he'd have been fired, there are always dozens of other English teacher jobs available at short notice. However, if you're on the gringo tourist trail, like in Costa Rica or Panama, things are a bit tough in that respect because, well, every carefree backpacking gringo tourist would love to have a teaching job like that. And like I always say, what you really don't want is other gringo competition. I'll take Latin competition all day long, but gringo competition? No way. But back to the point. There are just so many overwhelming advantages to bringing kids down here to Latin America and either homeschool them, which is the best, or send them to one of the private helicopter schools, which, by the way, range from around $200 to maybe $400 a month. Many of them easily on par with private schools up in the States that could cost 10 times as much. In fact, I know a couple of gringo teachers who've taught both up in the States in private schools and down here, and they say the same thing. And one of the big advantages that people don't much talk about is the fact that your kids will be going to school in class and be making friends with some of the highest-powered, most influential people in the Latin country that you're in. That means a huge economic and social leg up for any average Milwaukee or Cleveland kid. Down here, off the gringo tourist trail, your kids will be anything but average. They'll be in school and friends with the kids of the mega-rich and industry captains in Latin America. Kids whose moms and dads own beer companies and coffee and sugar plantations. Not to mention, your kids will be rubbing elbows with kids of ambassadors and diplomats, too. along with the kids of those disgusting, malignant, sociopathic, political scumbags I'm always on about, too. And these kids, like I said, can do no wrong in the eyes of their parents. They're little princes and princesses. Obviously, your kids can pick up some pretty bad habits. Remember, these kids were born with silver spoons in their mouths and live in a completely protected, classist and racist bubble. Now, I know people say it all depends on how you bring them up at home. That's going to make all the difference. Okay, then let me ask you this. What happens when your kid's 14 and has a 15-year-old rich kid buddy who occasionally takes the keys to his dad's SUV or Maserati and blasts around at night with a 12-pack of beer in the front seat? That's a true story. And believe it or not, some of these kids' parents are so powerful, when the kid gets pulled over by the cops and pulls out his ID, he doesn't have a driver's license, of course. When the kid informs the cop who his dad is, or the cop recognizes the name on the license, he doesn't even give the kid an escort home, lest he incur the wrath of the powerful old man and his connections. So the kid gets a warning and the cop lets him drive on, 12-pack and all. And I know a lot of you listeners up there had very good upbringings, nice parents. You worked your way through college and weren't spoiled, even though most likely that's what you've done with your own kids. However, if you had a spoiled, rotten, rich kid friend like that and he pulled up to your door one night in his Maserati and you were 14 or 15 yourself, would you say, "No, partying with you in your dad's Maserati is against my better judgment"? Yeah, right. When I was 14 or 15, I couldn't even spell better judgment. So you might say, "Yeah, I'll bring my kids up to high ethical standards and all that crap." But when the cat's away, and speaking of when the cat's away, Mark says in his email he's worried about his 9-year-old son and all those little young Latin girls. Well, let me tell you, there are countless young, very well brought up, very conservative young Latina girls, but you're not going to find them at the helicopter schools. Well, I take that back. Sure, there'll be a tiny percentage of very well-rounded, well-brought-up young girls at those helicopter schools, but don't count on it. According to my teacher friends, the greater percentage of young teenage Latin girls at those schools are a bit wild and crazy. They're nuts about Facebook, Twitter, and all the social sites. And worse, though in a protective bubble with bodyguards and such, they're still mostly unsupervised. They learn quick how to manipulate and boss around the bodyguards, the maids, and the nannies. So what kind of Latin girls do you want your boys to hang around with? Middle-class neighborhood Latin girls who go to the public school on the chicken bus? Or are they going to hang with the unsupervised, spoiled, wealthy kid crowd? Even if you homeschool, your kids will be hanging with someone. Who's it going to be? And of course, remember, where you're going to live makes a big difference too. You'll probably be living in an upscale, guarded community, and your neighborhood will be filled with upscale kids like that. Plus, you know, all kids, especially gringo kids, will be involved in outside activities like tennis, basketball, swimming, karate, music, whatever. And that'll be where they make their friends, of course. And what kind of kids do you think are going to be in those groups? Rich kids whose parents are obsessed with everything gringo, who just live for those seasonal shopping trips to Miami. Now, if you think that little story about the underage, unlicensed rich kid driver was a one-off rarity, get this. One of my English teacher gringo friends, who's well-liked by a lot of the kids, he says, and he must be because he says every so often on a weekend, he'll be out doing his gardening, whatever. That's his hobby. By the way, he can't afford a maid or a gardener on his $500 a month salary. Isn't that funny? Anyway, he says quite a few times on a Saturday or Sunday, his kids will show up in a brand new SUV or a shiny late model car, just cruising around on a Sunday afternoon, stopping by to say hi, to shoot the poop with the gringo teach. One time he said the underaged, unlicensed driver of the car, along with three young kids in the back seat, pulled up in front of his house, followed by a brand new pickup with four bodyguards in it. How do you like that? And when my gringo friend asked if the bodyguards were going to tattle back to mom and dad, you know, driving without a license and all, not to mention stealing dad's car, then the kids chuckled and said, "Who, them? Everything's fine. They're doing their jobs. They're watching us." So as you can see, the children of the rich down here in Latin America not only live in a bubble, they live under a different set of rules from the rest of us. Meaning, you're going to really have to be on your guard if you bring your kids down here to live too. And even if you're one of those enlightened parents that says, "I'm not going to let my kid watch more than 1 hour of TV a night," I'll make him switch off his smartphone at 9 and make sure he actually reads books. Good luck with that. In fact, I only know one gringo family down here with kids that was able to pull that off. And even he and his wife don't know how well it's working because, well, turns out one of their daughter's best friends is pregnant now and she's only 17. And the parents, well, they sent her, guess where? To relatives in Miami. Oh, and remember, for better or for worse, especially if you're off the gringo tourist trail, your young son or daughter will be so popular with the young girls and guys, get ready for that deluge of invitations to parties and other events. Oh, and by the way, I've been asked about the drinking laws down here in Latin America. Well, strangely enough, in the party districts of the big cities and tourist areas, there are those midnight police that come around and check IDs, strictly as a revenue-gathering measure. So occasionally in those party districts where the restaurants and discos are, bar owners will be fined heavily. That said, the bouncers at the door can be pretty strict about having an ID. However, in grocery and liquor stores, I've never seen anyone being asked for an ID. Even pint-sized, pukey, Latin Justin Bieber types. And finally, to get in my quota of digressions, which I may not have achieved so far, just to mention that in the last year and a half, Latin America has become the land of t-shirts and sweatshirts with English lettering on them. Yes, even in the high-end malls with the diesel stores and the Tommy Hilfiger and the Stradivarius and the Forever 21, they're selling t-shirts and jackets and sweaters and sweatshirts with English sayings on them that Latins just don't get or understand. It's all about the gringo advantage and the coolness factor of having something in English. How about this one? I took a picture of it and I'll show it at my next seminar. It says, if I say I'm going to call, don't take me seriously, I'm just being polite. Now, a guy was wearing that t-shirt sitting right next to me in the bank, and there, you're so elbow to a-hole with everyone. Sometimes someone's so in your face you can't help having a conversation with them. Worse yet, you can't help noticing they don't know what dental floss or mouthwash is either. By the way, there were probably 50 people in the bank and only one gringo, me. Anyway, he obviously wanted to break the ice and I didn't really want to, but I said, nice shirt. And then he said, you like it, huh? Well, why don't you tell me what it means? I tried to explain it in Spanish and he smiled, but he never did get it. It was lost in translation, a cultural thing.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.